I was like, I could get a job in something else, but I'm, this is what I've been doing. This is what I want to do. And I'm not just going to take something that's just going to hold me over for a while.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast, celebrating women in tech around the world. Yes, so exciting to have Mackenzie here from Blueberry. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for making time to hang out here at NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters. It is so exciting to be here.
So nice to be here and actually, you know, with some other women in this space. Totally. So that's good.
And we get to be recording on the amazing Focusrite gear. So excited. Focusrite makes it really easy to get up podcasting, plug and play on the go. So Mackenzie, tell me about, you are a podcasting maven.
I try.
You work with one of the leaders in this space. Let's get into it. Formally introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay. So I'm Mackenzie Bennett and I've been with Blueberry Podcasting for 4 years now. And really, I do anything that is with the sales, marketing, social media, marketing, events. Literally anything that doesn't have to do with tech support. Because that is not my thing. But I've, like I said, I've been there for 4 years and have been really working in media for almost a decade or so now. Because before this, I did radio, so...
And when did you first discover the world of technology? Was it when you were a kid or was it later in life in school? When was that for you?
It was definitely when I was a kid. I had known very early on in like middle school, I was like, I want to work in either music or media or something along those lines because I was very interested in everything that I could get my measly hands on. So I enjoyed that. Pretty quickly and like never wavered from it.
And then how did you go from discovering it as a child and then moving on? What was your first professional parlay with the technology space?
So right when I got to college, my freshman year, like my first week, really, we were told go find a club and for one of my classes. And I went to the radio station there and the alternative station needed someone to take all of the music that they were getting and decide what was going to be played on the air.
Did you say go find a club?
Yep.
What's that mean?
They were like, go find, you have to go participate in some type of organization.
Oh, organization, not like a dun 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 dance club.
That would be a little different, but also fun.
Go find a, I got it. Go find a club. Yeah. Okay. And you found?
It was WUB, which is one of the NPR affiliates in Athens, Ohio, and I did music director position for 4 years.
And how did you get that job? How did you find it? How did you feel that you were prepared or competent for the job?
It was just, you know, an unpaid thing the majority of the time, it felt like an internship the entire time I was there. Just my knowledge of the bands that they were already working with and whatnot worked out really well. And it just, they happened to have a spot that was open because, you know, someone had graduated the year before. And it was a very small team. It was just me and like one other two people. And they were like, we need help. Also, the guy that's in charge of this now is his last year. So we need to kind of get someone ready to take it over. So that first year was a crash course of radio in general.
And you mentioned that it felt like an internship. I would imagine you encourage internships then for everybody?
Absolutely. I did that for 4 years and then My last year in college, I did a PR internship with the Wexner Museum of Art. I think that's what it's called. But it was really just marketing any event that they had there.
Do you feel that you've created your own life? Like you've manufactured your own dream life professionally?
Yeah, it's been very chosen in that sense of when I was looking for this job, I was unemployed for a couple months. And this was a year after I had graduated. And I specifically was looking for media companies because I was like, I could get a job in something else, but this is what I've been doing. This is what I want to do. And I'm not just going to take something that's just going to hold me over for a while. I was intentionally looking for this based on the experience that I had. And I knew I was going to be able to find something that I truly wanted. So.
And tell me more about Blueberry. How did you discover the opportunity of Blueberry? What does Blueberry do? Why do you absolutely love working at Blueberry? I mean, you've been there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. In this day and age, that's like retirement.
I know. So Blueberry Podcasting does media hosting, stats, and websites. And really, it's just like a one-stop shop for podcasters. We don't do any of the product in terms of like microphones or anything like that, but we are there for podcasters to actually have the podcast available. So one of my favorite things about working there is I work on so many different things in one day.
Yeah, I imagine.
It's kind of a jack of all trades position because we have so many different, like we have a variety of services and it's always one, maintaining those, and then two, trying to develop the new ones that we're doing as well. So it's truly enjoyable in that sense because there's not a lot of mundane things that I have to do on a day-to-day basis like that.
How did you discover the opportunity initially?
Honestly, Monster.
Very traditional.
Yeah, it was super traditional because when I had been looking for my internship, I had seen that they were looking for a sales position and I was like, well, okay, obviously that's not my thing, but this seems like a cool company. And then I just forgot about it. And then when I was looking for this job, they just happened to have an opening available and I immediately remembered who they were. And it was just for an admin position because this was shortly after the first Serial release and things kind of
Serial podcast that launched in about, I think it was 2014.
Yes. It was fall of 14 and I started with them spring of 15 and they were just like, things are kind of taking off. We need help for everything that we're doing. And they just said, well, you have experience in everything that we need. We don't know like what this will turn into, but just want to get started.
What's so great, and I've talked about this a lot on episodes today and in past episodes, is that early in our career, sometimes I know that I was a waitress, I was a dishwasher, mm-hmm. and I would complain to my mom, like, what is this? What is my identity? And there's nothing wrong with being those things, but I wanted to be an entrepreneur so bad that I thought, like, why am I going through this? My mom said, you're going on a path. Like, this is part of your path and it's all layering
yes.
to give you different abilities and knowledge in order to do your future dream job. So like waitressing taught me about hospitality and customer mm-hmm. experience, things that you wouldn't necessarily think about. And so all those years of interning
yes.
and really dedicating yourself to something led to the right company saying, you are everything that we need and we'll make this happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Of they said, you know, this is something that really no one else could match in terms of like just your general interest in podcasts. You've done radio, you've done this portion, and all of that is useful in what we're looking for.
Yeah.
So it was, I had never really thought I would ever work for a podcast company, but it just made so much sense in the end that I was, you know, ecstatic to be able to find something like that.
Totally. And so what's a huge challenge that you feel like you've successfully overcome and how did you overcome it?
A big challenge, I think, is just in a small company like ours, because we have, when I started, I was like their first full-time employee to add on for the most part.
It's in a lot
like
of pressure.
Couple years. Yeah. Because they had like a core team of people, but none of them were doing it full-time. And it was a big transition of taking this company that's existed for a decade and helping it rise up. And now we have about 18 different people as opposed to like the 4 or so
as opposed when I started. We have a village as opposed to just like
a family table. Yeah. Yes. So that was painful in parts, just in like day-to-day stuff of how do we take this company, which is already doing so well in terms of like the stuff that they're providing, but being able to just take it to the next level. And there was definite conversations of, do we keep doing this thing? Do we start doing this? Why would we hire someone like this? Like, and those were a lot of the conversations that I was involved in, because I was trying to get like a bigger scope on the company. I was like, this is our time. Like, we have to capitalize on this right now. So we have to really focus on making our presence known. And it was not easy trying to establish like how we really wanted to be represented.
And what is the best advice you've gotten in your career?
I'd say most likely just stand up for yourself. And that's
nice.
What's
that mean to you? Yeah.
Yeah. That's not like anything against Blueberry or because they're great about that. That's one of the things that they say they appreciate is that I'm willing to open my mouth and not just have the thought. I'm able to voice it pretty well. And that's just not necessarily something that happens very often. It's like you have to stand up for yourself in just the idea of saying, like, if I want to be able to say this, I should be able to. So,
like, give us an example.
I'd say,
and this really helps me, by the way. I think that I don't stand up for myself enough, and what happens is that I may not be respected,
yeah,
because I'm perceived as a pushover.
Yep. That definitely
so really resonates with me what you're saying. Yeah,
I think one of the ways that I did it was after my first year or two, me saying specifically, I think I could improve one as an employee, but help the company improve if I focused more on this type of stuff,
right,
as opposed to like these things that I'm doing and like they're fine, but aren't meant for me.
Right, right.
I can tell that they aren't meant for me, and right, someone else would excel at it, and I would excel in it doing something
right
different. So, and I mean, it worked.
I think it's so great, and I think our community around us wants to be surrounded by people who speak their mind, but it's hard. It's hard to get there because, you know, we want to be liked and loved.
Definitely.
I mean, who doesn't want to be liked and loved? It's hard. So I'm really glad that you're saying that, because it's something that I know that I struggle with. Mm-hmm. And it's refreshing to hear that viewpoint. And it's not a negative on others. It's like, it's about being your best self. It's mm-hmm. not about someone holding you down.
Right.
It's about me holding me down.
Yes. Yes.
It's not about like Mackenzie's like environment mm-hmm. or who's talking to her in her professional or personal life. It's how she is showing up to life.
Right. It's me just making a decision.
Yeah.
It's me deciding to change something that I was just unhappy with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like when it starts to like wear down on you and you're like, well, I haven't actually done anything to try and change this.
Totally.
It's so hard, like, to get over that mental hump of, yes, I under, like, I'm very set with, like, how I feel about this, but I actually haven't tried to do anything about it.
Yeah. No, 100%. I'm so happy you shared that. It's coming up for me a lot lately, and I'm working on it.
Yep.
And I'm learning that this idea of, like, you don't just get respect.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have to respect yourself. Mm-hmm. And then it's almost like you earn respect. But earn respect sounds kind of funny. It sounds like you have to, it's something you try for. It's more just like how you show up again. It's, yeah, it's not like this, what is it, groveling of respect.
Yeah. I don't think it's, you know, that old, like, military thing of, like, well, you automatically respect me. And it's not also, like, yeah, earning. It's just a characteristic of, like, the day-to-day things that you do. It just
totally
will, like, evolve into something like that, I think.
Like, if you, this is what I'm learning myself right now. Like, if I want to be respected, I first need to respect myself.
Yes, very much.
And I need to understand what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, you know, like, we don't, at least for me, like, I don't even know myself that well. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think it's an important point, and I think it's something that a lot of us deal with, and it's scary and foreign. And I know that my initial, like, perception of it was like, I don't want to start being an aggressive person, you know, yes. But it's not about yes. that. Yes. So it's like, I'm not trying to get into a fight, you know,
yeah,
like,
no, I know.
Respect me or it's, we'll take it outside.
It's like, right? Well, that's the opposite of respect. So yeah. Job all done.
Yeah. Well, cool. Like, if somebody wanted to go on your journey and get to where you are today, what would you have loved to know when you first started out?
And it's not necessarily at Blueberry. I feel like something I could have done a little better in college was just kind of rely and develop those relationships with other women, like, in media. Because I didn't really do that in college. Looking back, all of my relationships, all of, like, my mentors, my friends that were involved in, like, media were all male. Which isn't bad. I just wish I had capitalized on that opportunity more. So that's something that I'm trying to do a little more often now.
And where can people connect with you?
So you can email me. It's mackenzie@blueberry.com. But you can also find me at mackenziebsix on Twitter. I'm pretty respondent on there.
So. Can you spell both for us?
Yes. MackenzieE. And then the letter B6. And then...
And the number 6.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then just MackenzieE at blubrry.com.
And we'll include all of it in the show notes. Two last questions. One, what is your favorite app, website, or hardware?
Ooh, hardware
or software.
Yeah.
Any of them, just one of them.
I haven't really played around with it too much, but... We're setting up a new studio at the Blueberry office where I am in Columbus, and we just were potentially considering getting a new Rodecaster to set that up with all the mics and everything. So that one is fun. And then what was the other question?
And then the last question I haven't asked yet, what podcast are you listening to right now?
Right now, I've been listening to one called Caught.
I think it's what's that about?
WNYC. It's basically... juveniles and how their life was formed either via prison and or mistakes that they made or kind of how they get the short end of the stick. So it's not a happy go lucky one, I can tell you that.
And one of the podcasts that I am listening to is Views, which is a podcast by David Dobrik and Jason Nash, two very popular YouTubers. And it's just a comedic play on a 20-year-old something meets a 40-year-old something. And they talk about the perspective of life together. Last question, your favorite book?
My favorite book is... Actually, I don't have a favorite book, but I am rereading at the moment Handmaid's Tale. And it is... taking a while just because I get wrapped up and then get depressed and then I put it back down.
What is that about?
It's the Hulu show. It's basically, it's like government takedown of women and they're really only used for like reproduction.
So yikes.
It's also not a happy one.
Yikes. Mackenzie, on that note,
yes.
we need another note.
Okay.
You introduce, what's the last note we should have?
The last note is, what's your favorite thing about NAB this year?
Ooh. Do you know, I think my favorite thing about conferences that I didn't understand early in my career are conferences aren't actually about going to the talks or seeing all the booths all the time. Conferences are about the community and the friendships you make, and those friendships become long lasting business and personal relationships.
Absolutely.
And they seed your prosperity as the years go on. I remember, I ran into Harry Duran from Podcast Junkies, and he was like, "Remember when we were at NAB 3 years ago?"
Yep.
Da 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 da. You know, it's that is, I think, one of the values that goes unnoticed and one of the most important values of attending conferences in our industry.
I completely agree. My first month with Blueberry, I went to NAB in 2015, and I was like, I never could have expected what was going to happen.
Yeah, totally, totally. Mackenzie, thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast.
Thank you.
If you want to connect and collaborate with more women in tech around the world, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight there. And say hello on social at Women in Tech Show, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. That's at Women in Tech Show. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Hi, this is Mackenzie Bennett. I work for Blueberry Podcasting. I am the Services and Affiliates Coordinator. We are based in Columbus, Ohio, but we also have employees all over the United States. You're listening to Women in Tech.
Women in Tech is an independently funded project funded by you, the community. So the way that you could support us is by going to patreon.com/womenintech and making a small contribution. Every little bit counts. That's Patreon, patreon.com/womenintech. Thank you so much for believing in our vision.